Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, the wild ride and the Dow Jones and all the other indices and the NASDAQ is still going on, although today it's up 190 points, but it's been a wild ride the last few weeks, and there's all kinds of news and things going on with the economy in general and then the stock market and the Treasury. That's a big deal, and what's going on with rates and the Fed and the government debt, and then ultimately we can talk about gold today as well. So it is the first Monday of the month here on November 5th. Tomorrow, November 6th, of course, will be a huge day. And I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired of this being the most consequential election in human history. And every year, every 2 years, that's what everybody says. I think that's just become a part of our vernacular. But it will be an enormous day tomorrow. So I'll be doing the show on the election tomorrow and everything that's going to be happening. What might happen, and can you imagine, just for a second, just because I want to mess with your sleep tonight, can you imagine early next year that all of a sudden Nancy Pelosi is the new Speaker of the House? Well, take that one and put that one under your pillow, and good luck sleeping tonight. So there's a lot to talk about tomorrow, but today, a full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is always landmarkgold.com. And their phone number is 844-879-8882, a great source of help and wisdom as we try to navigate all this crazy stuff going on. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. I'm excited for our program today. I feel like it's kind of like, you know, the old Abbott and Costello stick on who's on first, the baseball players. And that's what Abbott's trying to find out, or Costello's trying to find out. And So, you know, everybody confuses the roles here, and they say, well, maybe President Trump's the most powerful of them all. He definitely plays on the team and influences the team, but there's other factors who the person playing first base receives the ball as much. And we'll talk about who's on first today.
Yeah, and try to figure that out, because there's a lot of players, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, the economy in general, the stock market, the Treasury, the Fed, government debt, gold, a future recession. We've got all that stuff that we're kind of considering as we roll through Money Monday, and a lot to talk about. But, you know, one of the things I think is important for all of us to remember is that, hey, listen, God is on the throne, and if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this stuff matters. It's important, but it's not ultimately important. It doesn't ultimately eternally matter, and I think that's one of the great things about being a follower of Christ. Even though we deal with some of these challenging things and our dollars and our cents and our net worth and our savings and our retirements, David, but when you build your house on a rock, it doesn't matter what kind of weather comes at you.
I give a big amen to that. That puts it all in perspective. It's just about money. Is we're being stewards of the money the Lord's entrusted to us, and we're just trying to be good at that. That's all the program is about, and it's important because that's how we support ministry, too.
That's exactly right. Great, what a great point. Thanks for bringing that up. So let's just start kind of in general with the economy. We'll start kind of really globally here, and then we'll work our way through all these different players to try to figure out who's on first. The point being, you know, is there one particular part of this puzzle that's the biggest piece and the most influential piece? But let's just start with the economy in general.
Well, the economy's been going great. I mean, the unemployment's at a 40-year low at 3.8%. While that is happening, the median U.S. household income, Steve, has risen 1.8% to a record of $61,400, with the average person in the middle of income made in 2017. So this is, it's not just we're having an economic recovery. It's not a jobless economic recovery. We are having a job growth and unemployment's going down. GDP is at a pace of 4.5% second quarter. Is the fastest growing of GDP in 4 years.
Wow.
And so much that this all adds up to one thing. The World Economic Forum recently named the United States as the most world's competitive economy for the first time since 2008, a decade ago. The highlights from the report praised America for its entrepreneurship of economic growth and robust financial system. But also gave some warning signs of deterioration in the future based upon debt structure of the country, debt structure of corporation, and said we're not doing the best there, but as far as trying to grow the economy in the short term, they gave us an A+ and got us an award of the number one country. So clearly, this is a growing economy, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I put this up on Facebook, and I'll send you a link for it, David. I put up a it's kind of a moving graph to show GDP since I think it shows it since about 1965 on a year-by-year basis. And it shows, of course, America leading the charge, and then Germany growing and Japan growing. And then like 6th, 7th, 8th place down, you see this little country called China. And as you watch it, especially in the last 10 years, China all of a sudden surpasses everybody and starts catching up to America. So it's of course, we should all be praising the Lord that the economy is doing so well. But like you said, and alluding to Abbott and Costello, it's not the only player that's out there. And America's great, and we're excited about that, but that's not the only player on the world stage. So it's really interesting to see how things have changed so much over the years. But yeah, generally, I think everybody's in agreement that the economy's doing well. I think the big question is, who gets the credit?
Well, clearly, I mean, and I'm not here to throw stones at President Obama, but we never got unemployment down to 3.8%, and certainly the World Economic Forum didn't award a growing economy in any president the last 10 years or the previous presidents. So I would have to give the robust economy credit to where credit is due. President Trump, by his first week in office, he took away a lot of the obstacles that were put in front of banks, were put in front of corporations that stifled the economy. And once they got those taken away, the economy started growing. And so I think a lot of it has to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then the stock market, I mean, you were saying 6 weeks ago we were going to see this pullback, and certainly that's what happened. So what was kind of giving you the indication that that was going on with the stock market? And then, of course, where do you think we're headed for the rest of this year? We only have a couple months left, and as we go into 2019.
Well, the stock market showed over exuberance based upon when you look at the corporate earnings, Steve, and you know, the market can get what you call behind itself or ahead of itself. And pretty much it's been ahead of itself in reference to U.S. corporations and the amount of money they're making. We've been coming in about 25% of corporate earnings, which is phenomenal. Yet the market's been wanting more and more and higher. So it got a little bit greedy, got a little bit carried away. Most people on CNBC and Wall Street were saying the market's going to go much higher 5-6 weeks ago.
Well, hold that thought right there, David. We're coming up on a break. We're going to keep coming, talking about the economy today, the stock market, the Treasury, the Fed. And also, like we did several, this was a couple months ago, David's got another great riddle where you can get a great prize on that one. We'll do that when we come back. Steve Noble Show. We've got our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital helping us through a full Money Monday. Got a lot to talk about. We've been talking about the economy. We'll finish up our conversation on the stock market. We'll talk about the Treasury and what's going on there, which is very, very important, and the Fed, what's happening there, government debt, and then ultimately we'll end up talking about something that's right at the center of David's wheelhouse, which is, of course, dealing with precious metals and especially with gold. And remember, tomorrow, if you've done your early voting already, amen, great job. If you haven't, if you're registered, because, and David, I don't know if you've heard these stats before. I've memorized these a couple of years ago. In a presidential election, you've got about 50% of self-professed Christians nationwide that are actually registered to vote. And so you got that percent, 50% of people that would call themselves Christians are registered to vote. 25% of them vote in a presidential election, 12% in an off-year election like this one, and then only 5% in a primary. So we've got probably 100% of people that would call themselves Christians complaining about the government. Yet 75% of them will not even vote tomorrow. So if you're registered and you're listening to the sound of my voice today and you're registered, it's too late for early voting, but tomorrow is the day. And based on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which leads to loving your neighbor as yourself, in our country where everything, pretty much everything the government does affects your neighbors, if you're trying to impact the government by voting with a biblical Christian worldview, you're trying to help your neighbor. And to ignore that opportunity in the United States of America, quite frankly, I think is sinful. It's a violation of neighbor love. So I'm going to encourage everybody, make sure you get out and vote. And if you happen to live here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Wake County area of North Carolina, if you go to my personal Facebook page and you're having a hard time figuring out who to vote for, I'm happy to tell you who to vote for. So I've got my whole list of personal picks. on my Facebook page. That's my personal Facebook page under Steve Noble. So if you're local here to where I live in North Carolina and you need some help, go there. But David, sorry to kind of segue there, but it's such an important thing. And how we vote in these elections matters to the economy. It matters to the stock market. It matters all the way across the board. That's why these things are so important.
You know, people don't recognize the power that they have. If life and death is in the power of the tongue, let's put it to work and let's vote.
Yeah, no kidding. What a great point. So we were talking about the stock market and things have been going on. And 6 weeks ago when you were saying, well, we're going to look at a pullback, and certainly that's what's been going on. So what do you think's ahead of us? I mean, we're going to finish the year. We've only got 2 months left in the year. Then we go into 2019. What are you seeing in the future for the stock market, David?
Well, the people that influenced me were all billionaires, that they all went against the tide of what the other financial analysts said, where the market's going to boom the rest of the year. I'm referring to Ray Dalio, Stanley Druckenmiller, David Tepper, Jeffrey Gundlach. They're all saying this. They all called for this big pullback. They all are saying don't expect huge returns by the end of the year, and they're all saying single digits next year, and then we're going to move into a massive recession mid-2019 or 2020, probably the latter. So I think we're on the tail end of the eighth or ninth inning of this economic baseball game, and the best is behind us right now, and we're going to gear for a market pullback, recessionary and environment. They were talking this morning about limiting the having 100% of your money in the market. I mean, so people are starting to see that. And, you know, I've learned one thing: don't fight the market, understand the market and go with it.
Yeah. And if we go, I'm looking at a year to date. If we go all the way back to January 2nd of this year, the market was at 24.824, some of the highs on January 26th at 26.6. And then, of course, not that long ago, September 21st, it was at 26.7 on September or October 3rd, it was at 26.8, and then, of course, it just tanked after that. October 11th down to 25, on October 29th down to 24.442, which is right, you know, just around where we started the year, and then today at around 25.461. But you look at a year's chart, David, and it's up and down and up and down and up and down, and some pretty significant swings in there. And I think we have to realize that, you know, I guess we can safely say that the Trump bump is over, don't you think?
You know, I said that we're going to be in a volatile market, Steve. I said that in January, and clearly we have been there. Unless you're a day trader, it's very challenging to make money in this market. In fact, I had a client that's putting more money into gold said to me last week, and he's been investing in stocks for 30 years. He says, I can't make money in this environment. He says, the buy and hold, forget it. You have to throw that idea out the window. You have to day trade or swing trade your portfolio. And he says, I'm not wanting to study the market that closely and make that amount of changes. So even the hedge fund managers, the big hedge funds, they're having hard times making what you call swing trades in the market. We've gone to computerized trading, and it's changed the environment. The market is a different market today than it was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. So it's not the same. Therefore, you either got to change or you got to have your expectations a lot lower.
Yeah, before I was saying it's not your grandfather's stock market. It's not your daddy's stock market. I don't even know what your dad's stock market from 2 years ago. It's changed so rapidly. So let's talk about something that I think a lot of people overlook, David, and you talk about it regularly. What about the Treasury? You know, you hit the amount of Treasuries issued this year right on the nose. So talk to us. What are the Treasuries? Why is this important? And just kind of out of curiosity, how do you kind of determine or make a prediction about what the Treasuries are going to be like over the course of a year?
Well, the Treasury is there because our country says we're going to spend. And as a result of that, you know, they have to issue a Treasury. But figuring out the Treasury, when the Treasury came out in the main announcement that they're going to expand the Treasury from $520 billion last year to a total of $787 billion. I said, you know, it's going to be much more than that. And this is in January when I said this. So when you add up the Treasury market, we've just, the Fed rolled out about $420 billion. So add $420 billion to the $787. We had about $250 billion of central banks selling treasuries. And when you add the cost of servicing debt, we're right at around $1.3 trillion, which is what last week the Treasury said we're going to be issuing. So I made the projection of saying in January we're going to be between $1.2 to $1.4 trillion. I was within about $10 billion of the actual amount where the Treasury's, what I thought the Treasury would be. It tells us that that we're going to go much further into debt. And it tells us that foreigners are selling our debt. The central bank is unwinding treasuries. This is an environment or recipe to create a whole nother financial problem that's bigger than we've ever faced than 2008, when sovereign debt has to be paid for. So this is that's where the people like Diallo and Druckenmiller and Tepper and Gundlach, they're all saying the same thing. That said there's a pullback 6 weeks ago, and they're right. They're the ones that are saying the servicing of this debt through the Treasury is going to be a financial drain, and we won't be able to do it. And that's going to cause severe economic turmoil.
Yeah, I put a link on the Facebook live feed right now, and I'm looking at it myself. The U.S. Debt Clock. That's just usdebtclock.org. And the U.S. national debt. We're going to talk about this in the next segment. The U.S. national debt at $21,697 billion and climbing. Which, by the way, is about $66,000 per citizen or $177,000 per taxpayer. And then federal spending this year, $4.1 trillion and climbing. Federal budget deficit, $829 billion and climbing. And we'll pass the $1 trillion number. And this is all with a Republican in the White House and Republican control of Congress. And it's a massive problem, and it's going to have massive implications, as it already does. We'll keep talking about that with David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. We'll be right back. It's the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. We're talking about a lot of financial things with David Fisher from Landmark Capital. We'll be back with David in just a second. But something we talked about for a while and was a huge blessing has been a huge blessing in my family's life is MediShare. And the thing about MediShare, because it is a Christian ministry, you've got over 300,000 Christians now nationwide that are carrying each other's burden, which is what we're supposed to do anyway. But an incredible ministry and billions and billions of dollars that Christians around the country have shared with one another. When God sold our business and regular health insurance for us became totally unaffordable, we found out about it, found out about this ministry, MediShare, and looked into it. And it was an awesome thing for us to move into. And it's a great biblical model and can save literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. And you're part of helping other Christians with their major medical expenses. It helps you to learn how to manage your medical expenses more, because you think more in terms of cash flow and you don't go running to the doctor just because you have a stuffy nose. So it's really been just amazing to watch MediShare grow across the country and how God has had his hand in all of that. But if you want to find out more and check it out for yourself, 844-744-BIBLE is their phone number, 844-744-BIBLE. And you can get more information about MediShare, which, as I said, has been a great a blessing in the Noble family's life. And I hope you will check it out for yourself as well, 844-744-BIBLE. So, David, I appreciate you being here and spending the whole hour with us. And we did this. How long ago when we did this, you had the idea to do the other riddle, and then your phones got shut down from all of our friends here on the radio with the Steve Noble Show around the country. But when was that, a couple of months ago? I'm trying to remember when that was.
Yeah, it was about 2.5 months ago.
David texted me or called me afterwards and said, well, that went well because our phones got shut down. And it was just kind of a funny experience. But it was a great idea. And I like the riddle paradigm, because it forces people to think. And we're thinking about financial issues here. So we've got a new one. And so, David, tell us about this one. This is really cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Well, the winner of it, who guesses the riddle, wins a free Morgan dollar silver coin, brilliant uncirculated. They minted Morgan dollars at the U.S. Mint from 1878 to 1921. And this is the coin that they put the motto back on it over the eagle, saying, "In God we trust," representing God over our
country. I'm holding
country.
One.
So it's a very historical coin. And we gave it out before. And they also get a free book on investing in coins and a free consultation with me. And I'm excited to do that. And
that's
so
awesome.
The riddle is kind of, so if they've been paying attention to all the things we've been talking about, there's some clues in here today and also previous things we've been talking about, but here's the riddle. It makes you feel empowered and masks your reality. It takes you further than you really want to be. It holds you there longer than you decided to stay. In the end, you wish this would all just go away. A person, a company, a country, it will deceive them all. Not taken care of, it will cause a great fall. What am I?
Well, that's a good one. Because my mind was going in a lot of different directions. I'm not going to say anything, but I love that one. So I'm just going to repeat it. And then how can people play the game? If they think they know the answer, David, what do they do?
They pick up the phone, call us at 844-879-8882.
All right, 844-879-8882. For everybody on Facebook Live, I was just holding up. I happen to have a silver Morgan dollar myself. It really is beautiful, and I love that little aspect that In God We Trust is actually put above the eagle, which I think that's – is that the only coin that we've minted that's like that?
Well, they took off the motto, In God We Trust. Oh, my phone's ringing. I got a switchboard that I can see. It's lighting up like a Christmas tree. They put In God We Trust, the motto, on our coins. But then there was an error that they removed it, and the Americans started petitioning the government. And so they saw a country that was divided, and they put this back on our coinage, and it kind of connotated, hey, we're going to be one nation under God.
Yeah, that's our desire and our prayer. Here it is again. It makes you feel empowered and masks your reality. It takes you further than you really want to be. It holds you there longer than you decide to stay. In the end, you wish this would all just go away. A person, a company, a country, it will deceive them all. Not taken care of will cause a great fall. What am I? And there is a definitive answer to that. 844-879-8882 is the number. 844-879-8882 will connect you over. And then if you win that, you'll get a consultation with David personally and start to learn more about this important issue. But we were talking about the Treasury and what about the Fed? Because I think the answer from Donald Trump's standpoint, I'm glad that he's speaking out about the Treasury, and I'm glad he's speaking out about the Fed. So what does the Fed do? We'll just do a little Fed 101. What does it do, and why is it so important?
Well, the Fed was created in 1913 by a group of bankers, and we gave over the right for them to control our money system. They're not federal, and they have no reserve, so they're independent corporation of the government. They manage the flow of money, the creation of money, and interest rates to stimulate or to control the overheatedness of the economy. And I will say this, that the Fed, for the most part, has done not a very good job at that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had a 2008, and we wouldn't be facing another recession, and we wouldn't have needed to have all this stimulus called quantitative easing injected in the system in 2009 through 2012. So they seem to kind of act behind the curve, but now they're ahead of the curve, and that's what has the markets concerned, because they're aggressively raising rates. They're aggressively selling their what you call their balance sheet. They're unwinding. They're getting rid of their debt. They're selling treasuries, $4.5 trillion of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities.
Who's buying our debt? I mean, who would be stupid enough to buy our debt right now?
Well,
that's my personal opinion anyway.
It's if the interest rate is high enough, you're giving them an incentive. Yeah. So obviously the rates has to be high enough for the world to buy the debt. But here's the ironic thing, piggybacking your comment. Foreigners have been massively selling our debt. Russia just pretty much sold all their debt this year of U.S. Treasuries. China's been limiting. They haven't been buying any new debt, and they've been selling some debt, and other countries have been selling debt. So there's just been this big influx of central banks selling the dollar in the form of treasuries for the last 5-7 years. By the Fed selling it, that's confirming, and raising rates, that's confirming we are going to have a recession. They have to have some arsenal. They have to be able to create more debt to stimulate, so they have to get themselves lean and mean, and they have to have rates higher so they can lower rates to stimulate the economy and put cheap money into the system. So this confirms a couple things. We have economic growth happening. President Trump has created a great economy, but it also confirms it's not if, but when a recession is coming. And when it comes, the longer we wait to dial away from that or to prop it up and not let it reset, the further downward we will go.
Yeah, and so when's the next chance that they're going to do a rate increase?
Well, they're going to have one. 86% is the rate increase, what the Fed survey said that we're going to have in December. It'll be the fourth rate increase this year. They're going to have a minimum of three next year, and they're going to have a couple the year after. But we're at what you call full capacity of unwind at $50 billion a month. Now the Fed is selling treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. And I said we would reach that in October. And when we get there for the first time, we're going to have market turmoil. So that's what caused some of this market turmoil. And now we're going to see, can the market handle every month a $50 billion liquidation done by the Fed? Most people say it can't, and the Fed's own guidelines of them doing the test modeling have said it's not going to be a good picture. It's going to be very volatile, and it's going to cause downward pressure in stocks.
And that kind of goes back to what we opened the Full Money Monday show with today, and this whole issue of who's on first and what's on second, and I don't care who's on third and all that, as you look back at the Abbott and Costello model. But it's really challenging to kind of consider so many players. And for me, I look at this, David, and go, well, this is the federal government via the Fed and the Treasury monkeying around with the economy. We don't have we say we have a free market economy, but I think that's a total overstatement these days.
The Fed usually used to not have this much power, but about 15 years ago, they started to move this direction. And since then, it's been gathering steam. And now it's kind of like we live from crisis to crisis, and we look to see what the Fed is going to do or not do. So it's unfortunate, but that they've got to that level of power. And I think they're the person on first base. I think who's on first, and that is definitely the Fed, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we'll keep unpacking some more things as we work through. We got about a minute, and then we're up against the break because we got to make sure we talk about government debt because we've always in the past we've managed it, but then even under Obama in 8 years. He doubled the amount of debt that the country had accumulated the entire time before that. Go all the way back to when the Constitution was ratified. You go all the way back to 1789, the Constitutional Convention, and all the debt that our federal government racked up from the time of 1789 until the beginning of Obama's presidency. And Bush was part of this problem, too, at the end of his presidency. And then they basically doubled it and increased. I mean, it's amazing how much it's gone up. And it's still climbing. Right now, I'm looking at the U.S. National Debt Clock. Just go to usdebtclock.org, and I hope it makes you sick to your stomach. If it doesn't, then you've got a problem. But we're at $21,697,110,690,700,000, and then 800,000, and then before I get to the commercial, 900,000, $400,000 in increased debt in the last 15 seconds. It's really amazing. We'll pick it up with David when we back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is their website, LandmarkGold.com. Just a great supporter and partner and friend of the radio show. And every Monday, on most Mondays, it's just like today because it's the first Monday of the month. We do a full Money Monday show, which allows us to go down a lot of different roads as we have been today. The economy, the stock market, the treasury, the Fed. We're going to talk about government debt and gold and the future coming recession to finish up our happy-go-lucky time through the Rose Garden today as we talk about the economy. But then all the other Mondays, like next Monday, a week from today, it's just the final segment of the show. And we just kind of do an update of what's going on in the markets and what's going on in the world so that we can all try to be better stewards of the resources that the Lord gives us. And sometimes, David, people will say, hey, Steve, why do you do that so regularly? Why do you talk about money? And I'm like, well, because Jesus talked a lot about money. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions in the Gospels, 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer specifically, less than 500 on faith specifically, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. And if it's going to show up that much in the Scriptures, it sure as tooting better show up here on the show. Any Christian platform should be talking about it regularly because God certainly did. And that's why we're always so thankful to have David helping us try to understand these complex issues. So government debt, David, which we are talking about, and I've been looking at the National Debt Clock, talking to my friends on Facebook Live about it, and it's just sickening. But how do we begin kind of that conversation?
Well, if you look at it, it took 173 years of our country being in existence for the national debt to hit $1 trillion, year 1981. $5 trillion we hit in 2000, $10 trillion in 2009, and $20 trillion in 2017. So this is growing exponentially. And I assure you, it doesn't take more than a third grade or fourth grade education that the Day of Reckoning is about it in the near future at some point. When you have those things happening and the your own central bank called the Fed selling our debt and the rest of the world selling our debt, it just propagates this hockey stick even further.
Yeah.
So then John Bolton, our national security advisor, last week said that the national debt is a threat to society, that it requires significant cuts in government discretionary spending. We couldn't cut spending enough to get this thing under control.
No.
I will say this, that President Trump is followed in the footsteps of President Reagan, who is a job creator. And under Reagan, he caused economic booms, massive jobs, but the debt paid for it. He entered in with $800 billion in debt, left at $2.3 trillion 8 years later, but the debt was manageable debt. The debt to GDP was only 34%. We're now over 100%.
Man.
So it's a different environment, and this is why we're walking a very thin tightrope, and it's going to come probably in a year to two. This is why it's very important to diversify. Don't have 100% of your money in stocks. Get some cash. Get some gold. It's imperative.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Donald Trump and other conservatives talking about, well, we got to grow the economy, grow the economy to take care of the debt. You can grow the economy all you want and see stratospheric numbers and really healthy numbers, economic growth that we see now. It's still not enough because the math just doesn't work. And that's where I think people are just not sober-minded enough. They get so bowled over by their political affiliation into if they're a Trump supporter, which I support our president in many ways, David, as you do, and there's other ways that I do not, because my job as a follower of Christ is to call balls and strikes, and it doesn't matter who's standing at the plate. Whoever's swinging the bat doesn't change whether we call balls or strikes, but in the political world, it does. We'll use a much harsher magnifying glass with, if you're a Republican, you'll use a much harsher magnifying glass on Obama than you will on Trump, which means you're intellectually dishonest. And I think on this one, they can talk about growth all we want, but they continue to balloon the national debt. And Trump's not talking about that. Republicans aren't talking about that. Pretty much nobody up in Washington, D.C. is talking about our national debt. But this is a mountain that's coming down on our head.
The world is talking about our national debt more than we're talking about it, and they're saying it's a big problem and America's not aware of it.
Yeah, which, just look at the way we spend in general. It's just amazing. So we got the U.S. national debt at $21 trillion and climbing, and it's adding about $100,000 every 5 seconds. So right now, I'm looking at it. I'll just do it. $300,000, okay, I'll tell you when we get to $400,000. We're at $400,000 now. So that was $100,000 in increased debt in about 4 seconds. Yeah, I look down at the total personal debt, David, and we can complain about the government all we want, but total personal debt in America is at $19.3 trillion and climbing at not quite the same rate, but pretty darn close to it. And so we're just a whole nation of just reckless spenders, and we're not paying attention to this. And we're going to get away with it. You're going to get away with it, David. I'm going to get away with it. Everybody in D.C. is going to get away with it. And it's all going to fall on our kids and our grandchildren. And I asked Mark Harris, who's a friend of mine, he's running for Congress here in North Carolina the other day. I talked to him and I said, if you could be known for one thing, going to Congress and you could be known for one thing that you took on, an issue, set the issue of life aside, because he's ardently pro-life. He's a pastor for decades. Set that issue aside. But if you could take on and be known for one other issue you would attack from a moral perspective, what would it be? And he said, our national debt. And he's exactly right. This is a massive moral problem and nobody's talking about it in those terms. And like you said, the rest of the world's talking about it, but we aren't. It's just pathetic.
It's the love of money, unfortunately. You know, we can use money as a system, but when we love the money and it's become the focal point instead of worshiping the Lord,
yeah,
as Him being our God, then the country is destined for a fall. Yeah. And I think that we're at that point. It might not be individually, but corporately and governmental-wise, the numbers don't lie. We are there as a country, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, just so sad. So what about gold? This is kind of the epicenter of where you live and breathe at Landmark Capital and landmarkgold.com. So what about gold in this whole scenario as another player, something we need to consider?
Well, gold is the thing that central banks buy because the currency of the world reserve being the dollar, when it's out of control, the things that on the backstop, like the treasuries being ballooned, the government debt being ballooned, this is forces central banks to do something about it. And that's why we saw 5 weeks ago, like I shared on your program, there was a huge surge on central bank level to buy gold. Hungary increased their gold reserves 1,000%. Poland joined in the gold market. Russia's been buying gold. China's been buying gold for over a decade. They bought some more. And also these countries, Poland, Hungary, and Austria, repatriated their gold. So what does that mean is during World War II, they sent their gold out of their country thinking if Russia invaded them, they would be safe. They wouldn't be able to steal their gold because it was either in the Bank of England or the New York Fed Bank. So why am I sharing that? Because if you have gold in a third-party depository called an IRA, call my company. I will help you learn how to repatriate that wealth and get it in your own hands without a tax liability. A lot of clients have done that one. But as a result of the gold making a big run here recently, we've had Commerce Bank come out and say $1,300 gold here 2 weeks ago. We had Bank of America 2 days after that say $1,300 gold. Goldman Sachs said $1,350 gold as the average price of gold last week. And the biggest news happened just a couple days ago. Gold analyst at the LBMA, the London Bullion Market Association, this is the hubbub where gold's price is figured and traded in the world. This is the internalness of the gold market. They said in a annual gathering, $1,532 gold within the next 12 months. We're at 1230 right now. So a big run in gold, the internal price-setting company of the gold market, which is set by about 16 different entities within that entity, they're calling for a big run in gold. So looks like we're going to have some more movement in gold than I even thought this year and then the next 12 months. So I suggest get ahead of the curve, diversify. It could be a great protectionary and a defensive play against stocks, too.
And again, that's where it's the kind of the opposite end of the a teeter-totter, as I always mention, from our regular kind of quote-unquote regular investments in stocks and mutual funds, which is all in the stock market. The other end is something like precious metals or gold in this case, which helps to balance out and be a hedge against what's going on in the market. Because, David, you've never come on this show and say, hey, put 50% of your money. That's not what you're talking about. You're talking about diversification, which, of course, scripturally is an issue as well. We find that in the Bible, don't we?
Yeah, a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. You know, having 100% of money in stocks is not a well-diversified portfolio. People that did that in 2008 got hurt between 25 and 45%, while gold rallied 50% that year and went on a multi-year run and moved up 2.5 times its value in just 3.5 years. So if we have another semi-2008 or worse than that, gold should make a big rally and stocks should not do very well at all.
Yeah, so it's, trying to keep that teeter-totter as balanced as we possibly can. Well, we've been kind of wrapping this whole conversation today as we talked about the economy, the stock market, the Treasury, the Fed, government debt, and then finally gold. And we talked about the recession as well. But who's on first? You actually have a newsletter coming out. Is that right?
Yep. It's called Who's on First? And it talks a little bit about what we talked about today, but goes much more in depth on the Treasury numbers, the debt, the economy, the president, and him saying, you know, we should have taken care of this decades ago. That's the problem. We're behind the curve here. But, yeah, that will help people be educated a lot in what we talked about today. They just got a brief taste of the newsletter.
Yeah, and so if people want to get a hold of that information, that education, what do they do?
They can go to landmarkgold.com. Or they can call our office at 844-879-8882. And by the way, nobody has guessed the correct answer to the riddle yet.
Oh, the riddle. Let me see if I can get it out here again one more time. It makes you feel empowered and mask your reality. It takes you further than you really want to be. It holds you there longer than you decide to stay. In the end, you wish this would all just go away. A person, a company, a country, it will deceive them all. Not taken care of will cause a great fall. What am I? And we already gave the answer today. It's already been a part of the show. So, David, again, if they want to answer that, take a shot at that riddle. What number do they call?
844-879-8882.
All right, buddy, I'm going to put you on hold because you're on Skype with me. We'll pray with you after the show is over. There you go, friends. Please be praying for this election. I'm going to badger you tomorrow if you haven't voted yet. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And as my dad always said, ever forward.